like you.
I pay for the bed, but never even slept in it.
Never even slept in it.
It's Homie Cast number 9.
Number nine.
Gracious.
Only one guy got that. There it is. I see it.
This is the other one.
This is the biggest. This is the baddest. This is the biggest, baddest, but Homie Cast we've ever done. We got a full group. We're gonna go around introductions.
Special guest first.
Okay.
It's our first special guest, Joey.
It is really. Our first. We've had many
celebrities.
Special guests.
But we're gonna call our first special guest celebrity because of he's gonna tell us what he does too. Introduce yourself.
Cool. My name's Helder. I am the owner / brewer at Backlash Beer Company. We make a craft beer distributed only in Massachusetts. Pretty new company. I've been around for like 4 years. So.
Sweet.
Yeah. Well, glad to be here.
Yeah, you brought beer.
I brought beer.
And who'd you bring with you?
I brought my man Scotty here, who's a part of the Backlash team. He's been with us for a while.
Is he a big tester?
Big tester.
Yeah. Big tester, right.
He sells a shitload of our beer at Bison County, so.
He's a muscle. He's a guy you send when they don't pay the bills.
Absolutely.
He's a muscle, man.
Swinging sledgehammers, taking out knees.
He's also part of our fantasy league, the League of Extraordinary Massholes. Scotty Motts.
Yep.
Lots of balls.
I'm terrible, but that's changing this year. My losing streak against Craig is coming to an end.
We'll talk about that, too.
Oh, I'm sure we will.
Something different.
Round the table. Who else left? Chris, go ahead.
Yep, Chris DeWolf, I'm here.
Boom. Fresh from the gym.
Chris! No, fresh from coaching Pee-wee. Well, not Pee-wee anymore. Pop Warner football.
Oh, we don't want to get into that controversy.
I don't mind talking about. There's no controversy. It is what it is.
One team, one town.
I like that.
That's what it is. Great time.
Rick Dowsett's here. Regular. Regular. He brought him in, and he's every week he brings the heat. Frankie Gwynn?
Yes, I'm here, and I feel very awkward drinking a Bud Light in front of the owners of the
club. Bud Light, it's like a sin.
I was still awkward sitting next to you drinking that fucking beer.
It was in the fridge.
Where's the samples?
That's probably
where are the samples?
Oh, they're coming. We're going to get to it.
We're going to get to
that. Oh, okay.
Itching over there.
Craig Kimberly in the house?
What's up?
Craig was kind enough to host us. He made these mad burgers. He made the pico de gallo. He made the guacamole.
Got the green chili sauce.
Oh, yeah. That's a subject. We got to talk about the Hatch chilies.
Talk about that. Business.
James Eves.
Yeah, I'm just here for the beer.
Just here for the beer, James Eves.
Just so you don't get fined. Doesn't bring
And your host.
When's the beer coming?
Everyone's itching for the beer.
I want beer.
All right. We should probably do this right. We should probably get right to it.
Yeah, we should get drinking.
Let's go right to it.
We're going to get right to it. Why don't you talk about the product, how you got started a little bit, and get right to the... So why don't you get the beers while he's talking about that?
We got some other samples.
Yeah, we got more.
We can do that.
Awesome.
Cool.
All right, go ahead. How many different types of the Backlash, or is it just one?
No, we've done dozens at this point. We do a new one like every month and a half or so.
So at any particular time when you go to, what is the most different Backlash beers in any one particular liquor store right now?
I think the most we've ever had in the market is like 4 or 5 at one time.
Okay.
Because we do a lot of limited stuff, so it's here and then it's gone.
Right.
We'll bring a new one out. But
what's the most popular?
The most popular right now is an IPA that we just released called Ricochet. Mm-hmm. And that's been selling really well at Bison County. So the people are liking it a lot. But we're doing a lot of double IPAs. People just love their hops. So we actually, Scotty just grabbed one of our newer double IPAs called Overthrow.
Ooh, I haven't tried that yet.
That one's good, yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah. And so we got Overthrow. Basically, what that is we introduced a year-round. There'll always be an Overthrow in the market, but we're always going to be changing out the hops and using different hop varieties for it. So this is our first one. And we also brought our fourth anniversary beer. This is a beer called Oath, which is like a Saison Belgian kind of beer. It's brewed with lime, peppercorns, and two different kinds of yeast. So we just try to keep it interesting and have something for everyone.
All right, what are we doing first?
We're gonna do Ricochet.
Overthrow, yes.
Overthrow.
That's the hoppy one, yeah.
So if Ricochet's draft only right now.
Yep.
All right.
Excellent.
Where do you primarily sell your beer right now?
Like 99% of our beer gets sold within Boston. So we get some beer up here, but really the majority of it stays in the state.
That's good.
That's really good.
Let's get a toast here on this.
Yeah, cheers, guys.
Cheers. A long way, brother. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Look at that.
Chin. All right.
So you said 90% is in Boston.
Wow. Probably even more than that.
Is there half a percent somewhere on the North Shore that I can go raid?
Yes. We just did an event in Salem a couple weeks ago. The Flying Saucer is a pizza joint. They have a bunch of really cool local craft beer there, so that's a good spot for it. I'm doing an event in Haverhill on Saturday, a place called The Grill Next Door.
Okay.
But really, we send, like, for example, Overthrow, we did like 60 kegs of it, and I think four of them came to the North Shore. So wow. Really the majority of it gets
for bottled beers where
strictly big boys too, right?
Yeah, strictly big boys for now. We're working on getting some
single serves.
Yeah, single serves, exactly, 22 ounces. Off the top of my head, I'm not really sure where in the Gloucester area has this. I'm not even sure if anywhere does.
Website or
Facebook? Check the website, Facebook, Instagram. Awesome. We keep all our stuff on social media.
Awesome.
And weekly sales reports, so whenever we see something come up here, I'll shoot Craig a text.
Have you explored the world of mail order yet?
I have not.
Can I get home delivery?
It's technically illegal.
I might never leave the house.
It doesn't matter.
It's illegal, but they're like groups on like Beer Advocate and even through Facebook, you can join a group where they have like swaps. You know, people from across the country will send you beer that you can't get from their place. It's a whole huge thing. That's it's really like a community of people who trade beer. So
what are the big is Beer Advocate the biggest like online beer forum?
I think so, yeah. Rate Beer is another big one, but Beer Advocate's been the biggest for a while.
Yeah Even I've heard of that.
Yeah, I try to stay off of it.
Yeah. you want to reach in there and choke someone up.
Yeah, it's not good for my health reading that stuff. It's just I actually every once in a while I'll go on there just because like I'm part of me like really like wants to read what people are saying about it, but
and if you see something bad whatever, it's just for yourself.
It ruins your day. It really
it's like
does.
Being an actor reading the reviews, reading the write-ups.
I tell Scotty to go on for me.
He sees a bad review, he starts freaking out, sending me text messages. I don't know, what did we do wrong?
Right.
Like, I don't know, it's called a troll. Brewers convention or anything like that?
Yeah, I went to CBC a couple times. There was one in San Diego that I went to a few years ago, and there was one 2 years ago, it was in Denver. I went to that one.
Was it the one in Philly?
Nice. I think Philly's next year too, actually.
Is it going back again?
They do a thing where they move coasts, so it's like, it was DC 2 years ago after it was, went like San Diego, DC, and went back to Denver. I think this year was Oregon, so it's somewhere on the East Coast. It might be Philly.
Now I would say to all the listeners, both of them, if you have an opportunity to go to a craft brewers convention, even as a fan of beer, you don't have to sell beer, you don't have to make beer. You can just go as someone who appreciates beer.
Yep.
Because I had a hell of a time.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. A lot of the people were stunned. Like, wait, you don't sell?
Yeah.
You don't,
I just like drinking. Who does your distribution?
Up here, it's Merrimack.
Okay, Merrimack.
Merrimack Valley Distributing Company.
Who does your logo work? Because it's tremendous.
For people who can't see, tell them what your logo is.
So our logo is a set of brass knuckles, and that goes back a long time. The story behind it is actually
you had a violent childhood. Keep going.
Very violent childhood. No,
we grew up in Taunton. What do you want?
Whoa.
When
the mean streets of Taunton.
We first conceptualized the company. We're gonna call ourselves Black Eye Beer Company. So the brass knuckles kind of made sense. We got a cease and desist from a company out in California who has a trademark on the term Black Eye in beer. Looking back on it, I think it was a good decision because if you have a few beers and you say Black Eye kind of quickly, Black Guy, kind of racially charged.
Who wouldn't want a 22 ounce Black Guy?
There you go.
Joey, I know you often say,
if I had 22 ounces.
So,
that's terrible. I'd make it a
pound and a half. It's weird. So we had the brass knuckles that people just. People remember it. It's like one of the biggest qualities you want in a logo. It's distinguishable. It's memorable. So we've kind of rallied around that, and it sort of serves as like a symbol for like our like attitude and like our approach to beer. Take a little bit more of an aggressive approach, and it's kind of reflected in the knuckles.
No, not for the pink hat crowd.
No, not typically a pink hat pleaser.
Now is that a bicycle sprocket around it?
Yeah. It's a gear. It kind of like goes with our industrial sort of rugged thing. I guess I don't know. It's interesting exercise to go through and try to find like visual assets that like match a brand that already exists, you know. Yeah. And for some reason, the gear just kind of made sense to us.
So when you're doing this, and there's already the brewery, the brewer stereotype, like you have to wear the certain type of pants, and you have to have the big beard.
Gotta have the beard. Right?
It fits the mold.
Hey, I trimmed this thing down.
It's early summer, right? You gotta wait.
Like how much of like what other brewers. Like, do you pay attention to, and how much do you feel like that? Like the beer snobs want certain boxes ticked off, like when they're going down the brewers must have this pedigree, mm-hmm. or not.
No, I mean, part of that. So I try not to listen too much to what people are saying. I mean, there's always a part of me that's curious about it, like kind of going back to the beer advocate thing. But I think we've gotten to where we are now just by doing our own thing and making beers that. I enjoy and we enjoy, yeah. So a good example of that is like our best selling beers right now, like these double IPAs, which are high test, like 8.5+ beers. We also make like a Russian Imperial Stout, it's like 9%. People love like those high ABV beers. But for our anniversary beer, which is going to be, you know, every year we do it, so it's always a pretty anticipated release, I went with a 5% Saison because I just wanted to brew a crazy over the top beer that has like a bunch of different interesting elements to it. So, I mean, the slam dunk play would have been to brew up something crazy high ABV because that's what sells well. But for me, I wanted a challenge. I wanted something that was going to be a little bit more difficult to brew and a little more nuanced. So,
very cool.
Yeah.
Now, you talk about that Imperial Stout. Now, I got the opportunity of a lifetime to actually sit in with these guys at a beer fest about 6 weeks ago or so.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And you did something that obviously I don't think I've ever seen at a beer fest or anywhere on the planet. Tell us about what you were doing with that Imperial Stout and what you were forcing us to do. And I will mention that it was the biggest hit at this entire beer fest.
Yeah, listen, I'm going to stop you right now. If this involves the words butt and funnel, I'm not sure I can say that.
Stop dreaming, Rick. Go ahead.
Sorry. Okay. It wasn't anything like that. So the context was we were pouring at a beer and barbecue beer fest. Basically, there were like local restaurants that were bringing barbecue and local craft beer companies bringing beer. So we have this Imperial Stout that I just wanted to do something special. It's kind of cool to play off the whole beer and barbecue theme. So we have this thing. It's called a Randall. It's essentially something that infuses beer with any sort of flavoring that you want last minute. Has like a big cone that you just like load stuff into. You can do like hops, and the beer passes through it right before it goes into the cup and it goes to the drinker. So I loaded it up with bacon, applewood smoked bacon, and actually hickory that we soaked in Jim Beam for like a week.
Jeez.
So we had all Jim that Beam. So
bacon bourbon infused Imperial Stout.
So yeah, 10% Imperial Stout passing through that, and it was pretty amazing. I mean,
a lot of goodness right there.
And just the thought, because everyone was very cautious when they walk up and they saw you're pouring beer through actual real bacon and smoked wood chips, and everyone was cautious. And I got to tell you, we had the most repeat customers 2 and 3 and 4 times.
Oh, people talking
coming back because it was that good. It was so surprising. People were stealing the bacon off of the table that was reserved strictly to infuse
with.
Was
there like a little film on the top of the bacon?
Yeah, you could see a tiny little bit of fat floating.
That sounds absolutely unbelievable. I will, for the opportunity to get an invite to the next time that happens,
I will name my next
illegitimate child Helda.
have a job pouring beer at the next time.
Love it. Well, the thing is with that Randall, we started using it, about a year ago at a Drink Craft Beer Fest or so?
Yeah.
And everything that we do with it, it's become anticipated now at Beer Fest. It's almost like, what's Backlash going to do this time?
Yep.
You know, a couple of times we've done the whole cone hops. We did the Imperial Stout through bourbon-soaked espresso beans one time. We crush beer at these things. At the last American Craft Beer Festival, we had 3 kegs total for 3 sessions. We were out of the Ricochet IPA half an hour into session number 2 that we were randling. We were randling that through Citra, right?
Citra hops, yeah.
Yeah. And then we were entirely out of beer with 2 hours to go in the 3rd session.
It's crazy. It's
crazy. But we still had a line because we were giving away temporary tattoos. So for the next 2 hours, people were in line.
Slapping brass knuckle tattoos.
Tattoos. And at the Beer and Barbecue Fest, one guy came up 3 weeks later, the thing wouldn't come off. I feel bad for the guy that got it across the floor.
I want to understand the Randall. Was this an invention of yours?
It was invented by Dogfish Head Brewing Company.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And it was like a homemade thing for a while, and if you wanted one, you had to make your own, but now they're actually selling them.
Because it's a noun and a verb and an adjective.
Too Randall.
Exactly. Yeah. This is a very Randally beer.
Yeah, picture.
Have you thought about hot buttered lobster?
Yeah. I'll try.
Because we got a hookup.
I'll try anything.
Right?
Hey, people do oyster beers.
That's true.
They do oysters beers.
Right?
Buttered lobster, though.
Well, the Saison is fantastic,
Thank
too.
Thank you. Yeah, we got more of that, too.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I'm not a big craft beer lover. And that, what was the first one?
The IPA?
Oh, Overthrow.
Yeah.
Did you try the...
I tried both of them. They were both delicious.
I'm not either. Overthrow
for me
too.
Was holy crap.
Well, the thing is,
I'm drinking Stella now, and I'm like,
Well, the thing that Helder does so well with the beers is a lot of people, they assume hoppiness means bitterness, and it really doesn't. You get so much flavor out of the hops that what he does so well is making very hoppy beers that aren't bitter. But you get a lot of the whatever kind of hops you're using, whether they're piney or grapefruity or juicy, tropical, you're getting those flavors instead of straight bitterness. So it makes them really, really easy to drink.
Yep.
Yeah. Very smooth. It's delicious.
That is just crazy. Yeah. Well, thank you guys for coming. Thanks for the samples.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
And, absolutely.
Now, before they go, they did say they had more samples.
They can
leave when the cooler is empty.
I think they should stay through the rest of the
conversation. They're very welcome.
Because I'm ready for my Backlash logo tattoo.
Do it on your forehead.
They're not going anywhere.
Penis.
I rent out the forehead. There's not nearly enough room. It's a cold night.
There's not enough room.
You will now be subject to the rest of
back to back. So yeah. Anyway, big news this week. There have been rumblings, but on the Doug Pappas from Foreign Affairs, he was the main guy at Foreign Affairs, put on his Facebook page today, and this is the quote: "It is with a heavy heart that I must announce my departure from Foreign Affairs Wine Bar and Bistro. I want to thank you all for your support over the past 3 years, whether it was as customers, family or friends. It was without a doubt the most difficult task I've ever taken on. I hope you enjoyed the time I was there, and I'm looking forward to your support in my next project, whatever that may be." So our Alicia, Chris's wife, is a hostess there, and I went there with Kate 2 Sundays ago. He was not cooking there, but there was no drop off in the food. The food was still amazing. And what I want to say was, Doug was always he's very socially media aware, and he had always given props to his staff like they were a team and a family.
Yeah.
So
he did.
I don't know how that must have gone, because if they were that close in the kitchen and Doug's gone and these guys have to continue going on, I don't know who's the head guy now, but...
That's a good question.
That's, you know, hopefully everybody's in a good place mentally. But I'll tell you, do not hesitate to go to Foreign Affairs, because we were there after he had left, and it still maintained that high level of...
I was too. It was very delicious. Good. I went there and I got the scratch hash on their Sunday brunch, and it was phenomenal. The dollar oysters. Yeah. The atmosphere is tremendous there. The food's tremendous. I love it. I hope it continues.
I think their Sunday brunch is a absolute no-brainer. They have great music, great food. The Bloody Mary bar. A lot of pointing.
The man looked thirsty.
More alcohol, so we're just saying, hey,
you need something to drink.
I was volunteering.
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
You want
keep going.
This here?
Anyway.
No.
So speaking of Alicia.
Yeah.
Alicia is going to be... So we have our homie cast. It's all men. There's no women here. We don't do women in the homie cast.
Are we done with Foreign Affairs?
Huh?
Are we done with Foreign Affairs? I just wanted to throw out that outstanding reputation. I have no idea what happened to have Doug leave. He, from all I can tell, very professional response. Hit it. And presentation on Facebook and social media, and I'm sure that it seems like that same professionalism will carry on with the crew that is still there, and look forward to great things in 2 different places now.
Totally. Yeah. So our Alicia, who is hostessing at Foreign Affairs still, is going to be have her own, hosted on Good Morning Gloucester, Alicia Unleashed. Now,
Oprah.
Wait a second.
Here we go.
Here it is.
AKA the spy.
The spy.
So
the spy.
How many of us get to go and crash the
you
first
know
one?
I'm
no, baby.
You
no,
know
I'm right there with you, baby.
Me and you. You mean you're going there? I think they'll handle
it. You look over the fence,
listen,
you're going to crack her, you're going to peek through the door.
I'm going to give her props. They will handle it better than certain members of the spy. Handled it when the spy, well, one of those members is no longer here. But anyway.
Hey.
Our safety word is paper.
But I texted her this earlier in the week after we decided we were going to go forward with this, that I think I'm more excited to listen to her. Because she, Alicia has no filter. Hence her name, Alicia Unleashed. So what do you guys
think? I gave her that name, by the way. She wanted First to do unapologetically Alicia.
Yeah, I know.
And Alicia, I came up with Alicia Unleashed because I knew what was going to happen. As soon as we cut her loose on the blog originally, when she wanted to be on the blog.
Sounds like a good name for a backlash beer.
Hopefully.
Alicia Unleashed, baby.
It's a little bitter and yet a little smooth.
No,
and it'll get you fucked up.
Beep. Knowing Alicia, I can't imagine. I can't even fathom right now what direction this is going to go in. So it's pretty exciting.
I can't wait
to hear it.
I'm psyched.
I can't. I would like to be a spy on the wall. If you
we're
will.
All going
to
spy. On the wall.
Well, you don't have to be a spy on the wall because you're going to be able to listen to it the next day.
I'm just excited to find out a whole bunch of shit stories about
the
wall.
I'm
going to
be there silently listening to it, and then you're going to hear my voice in the background and run.
She's going to throw Chris under the bus.
Look up. You'll see the axle and everything from down there.
she's gonna throw you under the bus?
She's not going to throw me under the bus. No, absolutely not.
There's nothing to throw you under
she
the
isn't.
Bus.
She isn't. There's no way.
We all hear it right here, folks.
The only thing she'll throw me under the bus for is not taking the dogs out for a walk, and that's it, because I got reamed for it last night. That's about it, all right?
Now, Chris, will she not throw you under the bus because there's nothing to throw you under the bus for? Or will she not throw you under the bus because you, as a man, have put your foot down and said, "Woman,
yeah, that works.
You really woman, good. There are things you will not talk about."
I take number one.
I'm waiting because we taped the
pussy.
We taped the Gloucestercast.
No, that's right here.
Nice.
That's
we
over.
We taped the Gloucestercast at Cape Ann TV a couple nights ago, and I was, I was wondering. If she was gonna, if she think that she's just gonna go bananas,
she doesn't care.
She doesn't.
That's
care.
The thing, and she is on leash. She doesn't care. She's gonna tell you what she thinks, and if you don't like it, don't listen.
All right, we're gonna change up a little bit.
Are the kids allowed to listen?
No.
Are your kids allowed to listen?
No.
All right, then I'm tuning in.
Best next topic submitted. I don't know if this is Frankie or this was Rick. Best. Advancements in car technology in the past 10 years.
Yeah. So I came up with this one because I got a new car this week, and I didn't know there was such a thing as cooled seats, but it has cooled seats as well as heated seats. So these cooled seats have kept my asshole and balls sweat-free for the last week, and I feel so much more confident going into business meetings. And I walk out of my car and nothing's sticking to my thighs, although it is a nice feeling to peel them off the inside of your thigh.
Wow.
That's one of my favorites. But no,
do you like how he went classy with that? He didn't go for the euphemism.
No, just right for it.
He didn't say the undercarriage.
He didn't say... This is what it is.
Just call it out specifically.
So basically you don't have to use talcum powder or baby powder or anything.
I still do for now because I'm in the honeymoon phase. But no, it's really saving my baby powder budget. It's lightened up a bit. But it's phenomenal. Traffic doesn't really matter anymore. I'm not grouchy when I get home just because I have nice, cool
fresh
baby balls.
Yeah.
And what kind of car is this?
It's a Ford Edge. 19,
really?
2015
is
Ford
it a
Edge.
Car?
Is it what?
Is it a manly car?
Yes. Yeah, it's pretty
okay, right. I'm
kind of like a cop car.
That's how Kate drives, but the newer version.
Oh, my God.
That's how Kate drives.
So it's not a manly car.
Wow.
So
that's
what my girlfriend drives. I'm sorry.
It's a Volkswagen Rabbit, but it's okay.
Yeah. How are Kate's balls? Does she like the cooled seats, too?
Oprah! Wait, Kate's balls cool?
Here we go.
That's funny, are they?
So you're saying it's a Subaru for men?
Wait, that would be...
I take offense to that, too.
I forgot you had a Subaru.
So,
go that way, Rick.
We're going around.
I have to tap out on this one. My car is barely from this century, so...
What do you mean? You got a Butte.
Yeah, but it's not... What technological advancements the
you
past 10 years?
No talk.
Do you have racket
and you can
king
drive
and power
in the rain.
That's a Jeep.
Is that 10 years thing? That's not a 10 years thing. 10 years.
Somebody limited this to 10 years.
I think the roof and doors era that I've seen on other cars is pretty spectacular. Someday I hope to have a roof and doors.
Next week you can put it back on.
I love that, Rick.
Not till Columbus Day.
Rick, what was that record? You told me this before. How long was your record? You had the Jeep with, and you did not put a top on it, and you left it outside.
17 months.
17 months. No top on the Jeep, bro.
That's why the interior looks that way.
Snow pants.
No, my old Jeep.
The red one.
The red one.
Yeah, he confessed to wearing snow pants in his car because he was sitting on snow.
That is
awesome. You got to go to work. You can't, can't show up and wear shorts. You throw on a pair of snow pants, you dust the snow off, and
sorry, we got distracted.
Everybody's looking at the Bella Twins.
Bella Twins. Wrestling.
Wrestling's on TV.
Bella Twins, WWE.
A fascinating Flair point in our podcast right now. As people listen to us watch TV.
That dude on the right is in amazing shape.
Chris, what do you got?
I got nothing, really.
I have a friend who just got a new car, and it's keyless entry, obviously. But the cool part was, if you have the fob or whatever in your pocket as you approach the door, it unlocks. So there's no actual button to unlock the door. It senses that you're near it, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, mine does that.
That is cool. Yeah. Okay, Rick.
I want to come back to me. I know it hasn't been the past 10 years, but the most impressive thing for me in my caveman type days of car ownership is not having two keys. One for the door and one for the ignition. The fact that I can open the door and start the car with one key, it's freaking unbelievable.
You should have seen the look on Helder's face when he just said that. He's like, what are you talking about?
Are you for real?
That happened?
Yeah, no. How old are you?
He's a youngin'.
31. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Rick likes not having to use his heels for brakes as well.
The little one, the circular key to open the door, and then the square key.
Joey, go.
Paddle her feet.
I'm going with, and I still do not have a car that has it, but I want it badly. I don't have Bluetooth to link up my phone to my so I can listen to music on my.
You could put a stereo in your truck.
You have can you plug it though?
No, I could.
He's got a brand new truck. He's got a 1.5 year old truck. It's a nice intro. But you could put a stereo in that thing that will do that.
That would do that.
Yeah.
Totally. Or plug in the 3.5 millimeter jack.
I do that, but that's a step.
You're talking about getting in your car and it turns on. Connects to your phone.
Plug it in.
But I like to listen to that. I like to. So, as what we're doing right now, when I'm driving for any amount of distance, I listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
Right.
It makes it your time flies. Anybody that commutes and doesn't listen to podcasts, I don't understand. Right. So. So that's why I just like to be able to just press the button that whether it's the listening to the Gloucestercast, Overcast, the Homiecast, the Bill Burr, whatever it is.
And when you turn off the car, it stops. You don't have to touch the phone. When you get back in, it turns on. It starts again.
All the cords are a pain in the ass. Yeah. I use the 3 millimeter jack right now, but go ahead,
Scotty. Right. I'm gonna say rear view camera.
Ooh.
It kind of goes along the line of not having to take your key fob out of your pocket and go through the effort of pressing a button or using a key to open the door.
You don't want
to
look.
I no longer have to go through the effort of turning my head.
How lazy is that?
I can just avert my eyes to the screen, kind of hope that no one's in the blind spot. It's like driving like an old man where you have no regard for anyone else. I'm going to that lane now. Yes. Get out of my way. Same thing.
Or it's on
rear view camera.
You're not in my rear view camera, so
rear view camera's phenomenal. Exactly. Right.
Well, then you also get the two little the notifications on your side view mirrors. So again, you don't have to look over your shoulder. Oh, I heard a beep. Maybe I shouldn't go.
It took me 3 days to figure out what that was in my rental car.
I know, right?
I'm like, what the hell just happened? I didn't put my blinker on. Why is that?
That's awesome. That is truly awesome.
For me, I'm not sure if it's in the last 10 years. My favorite thing in my Beamer is when I get in, there's three buttons right down to the left of my seat, and I can push the middle button, and everything in the car adjusts back to me.
To your sense.
And that I really like. Everything, the rear view mirrors, my seat, everything adjusts back to me.
Because you share your car with someone else?
No, I have...
Spouse.
My spouse and my...
I know that, but they might not know that.
All right, share with my wife. My son sometimes drives it.
Yeah.
you know, and so
it's
whenever
usually two programs that you can have.
Yes. Yeah. I have three in mind.
Yeah. Wow.
And I own two of them.
Yeah.
Because nobody else even knows how to program them. I'm the only one that figured out, like, I read the little book that came with the car. You know, there's a little book in a leather case, you know. And I said, oh, you can program the scenes, and it does the mirrors and everything. And you know.
So you have two of them programmed for you. Is one like 7 a.m. you and 8 p.m. you? Or?
And one of them's like, you know, like you know.
Going home from the podcast.
Get down low. You know what I mean? Hang in. And one of them's like, I gotta get there quick. Yeah. So I have mood seats is what I call them. So
the third one is called jerking off in traffic.
That's why he didn't tell you about the third one.
Frank was about to buy a BMW.
Oprah. It came with a roll of paper towels.
Like head on the highway. You need four now.
It's called Roadhead.
Roadhead.
Damn it. Craig.
All right. Well, I'm gonna piggyback Scotty real quick because he almost led
again?
To
it. Again.
Yes.
It hurt. Less.
But the auto park. the cars that auto park now, I think is phenomenal. You probably Scott.
Yes, that's
easy. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. But there's a new feature that just came out by BMW that I saw on one of their new vehicles for 2016. Which Bluetooth links to GoPro cameras.
Oh.
So anywhere you put a GoPro on your car, you can wirelessly watch it on the screen in your car.
Oh.
Right on the navigation screen. It's a new thing that just came out. So you can mount 5 GoPros on your car and switch views between them as you're filming.
That's crazy.
If you're a car guy and you're a camera guy, so this all goes together for me. Jeez. But I just thought that was phenomenal. That you could and you can control the cameras.
While you're driving. That's
while you're driving.
Yeah, while you're driving.
I mean, that's nothing says more don't keep your eyes on the road than I've got camera 3,
ADD.
Switch camera 4,
ADD.
Camera 5. So, yeah. That shows you where we're at now that these companies, you know, between the cell phones and the cameras like that with GoPro and stuff are getting so integrated that, you know, you can access your Facebook, your YouTube, all that stuff from your screen, your entertainment center now. But Bluetooth to your wireless cameras on your car is bad as shit.
Now, I have a question about that. So I don't know if any of you guys have daughters. I don't. But can you use that if your 17 or 18 year old
surveillance
daughter is going, says, I'm going to the mall with Sandy and Molly, and instead
and really
she's
Bobby
going
and
out
Timmy.
She's going to meet some 25 year old dude in the park.
Mm-hmm. You can do that. It's called your cell phone. You can
break your cell phone. Frankie was just saying to me
whatever
quietly,
locator.
Can you hack into that if they're over 18? Can you just scope out those cameras and see what's going on? But when they're watching the submarine races on the back shore.
I'm sure.
I did. Right around.
So there you go.
I'm going to pick on you.
Technology. Love it. Absolutely love it. Very cool.
Yeah, that's good.
Some of this stuff, though, goes back to just one last little comment about this. I remember when cruise control came out.
Biggest thing.
And I always wondered, why would you want to not drive your car? Like, I love driving my car. I mean, I would drive from Virginia to New York City.
4 hours straight on the highway?
Yeah. I would drive from Virginia to New York City, man, and I had a Mustang, and I always like manual transmissions, you know, because then I'm driving my car.
It makes it tough to masturbate, though.
I was going
to
say, just
keep on going.
I like thrills.
That's the idea. It's to rub and drive. Come on, man.
I drive a lot for work.
I have to admit that a manual transmission does make
or it tug and drive.
I'm gonna say that's preset number 3.
You have to have a very talented.
You have to have a good elbow. You know what I mean? You have to have good elbow maneuvers. As long as you can go and go bang first gear.
That's what
whoop that third second gear,
and then hit that camera record at the same time.
All right, next topic.
We're off the rails.
We're off the rails. Joey is fascinated with the ladies wrestling going on TV.
Watching the Bella Twins.
He's been tuned up to us for the past 12 minutes.
Let me pause this.
Next, I'd like to talk about Alicia's podcast. I think that's a really
slow motion.
Did we do that already? I don't know. We did that already.
Jesus. So wait, Frankie, did you do yours?
He's still watching
my
Bella Twins.
Cold Seats.
Oh, Cold Seats. The nuts. The nuts.
Not the Bella Twins.
I put it in slow motion for Joey.
Who? Was it Rick? Was it you that went to Zeke's recently?
I did go to Zeke's. I've been there a couple of times in the past. I've been there 3 times over the past 3 weekends. New ownership. Their claims to fame, as far as I know, because I'm not a regular. All homemade breads. all scratch cooking. And I guess once or twice a year, the old owner, not that he's old, I don't know how old he is, the previous owner would go down to, wait, Barum. No.
Okay, go ahead, crack it.
Thanks. Don't let my sentence step in the way of beer. The previous owner would go down to Lancaster, Pennsylvania once or twice a year and get truckfuls of Amish sausage, different flavors, and Amish cured bacon, which you can get. So it's kind of a lot of places, not all, a lot of places in town tend to have, oh, here's your brown and served sausage, here's your frozen hash brown patty, here's your pre-made microwavable pancake or whatever it is, and you know, you go there and it's kind of it's a nice treat, kind of a little different.
There you go,
scratch cooking, homemade stuff. And
I have to give a shout out,
it was phenomenal.
I have to give a shout out to these people. I have not been yet. Nice. It's close to the dock. They sent out an invitation for me to come and to check it out and stuff. I want them to know I fully intend to come in for breakfast. And I'm really looking forward to it. And we wish them nothing but... because I haven't responded to their email. And I just don't want them to think that I'm avoiding them for any particular reason. I'm definitely coming in. And I'll do a whole photo shoot for them.
I'll come with you. I'm definitely...
You want to come?
Yeah, I definitely want to.
Maybe we'll go. Maybe we should all go.
I've heard from former customers of mine about Zeke's. And they, you know, how, since they changed the ownership, you know, they've been telling me about it. And I'm excited to go. Because, you know, this... I'm very picky when it comes to breakfast, so I'm very excited for somebody that, like Rick just said, homemade, that's what I'm looking for, so I'll definitely come.
And I'm not talking two homemade breads. No, it's like eight or nine different homemade breads.
Yeah, no, I mean, I saw, you know, I'm looking forward to going. I'll definitely go with you.
There you go. All right, all in, maybe this Saturday.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next topic... They're not very seamless segues for me this today. Yeah, the ladies wrestling has
been excellent.
Joey, all energy baby, stuff. Come on.
All day. Well, I got to get up 2:30 tomorrow morning, so it's all got me all my... Anyway, one of the topics was ultimate backyard game. Bocce?
Cornhole?
Cornhole.
Horseshoes?
Lawn darts?
Lawn darts.
You can't play lawn darts anymore.
Volleyball?
They're illegal.
You can do it.
Badminton,
volleyball. One net, all of that.
What about bucketball? That's not a backyard game?
Bucketball.
Zimzam.
Are you for real? What are you in the body?
Bear pong.
That's not
a ball.
What's bucketball?
It sounds like an ultra ball game. What
are we talking about? All right, if you're going to go to... Okay, I'm going to take it a different direction. If you're going to tailgate and you're going to...
Yes, tailgate better than backyard.
Focus.
Oh, yeah. We need a photo of this.
She gave him a
Joey's Joey's gone. Somebody take over. Somebody get the headphones off Joey's head. He's gone.
If anyone is this far, you guys are so...
That's the opportunity to on-demand WWE SmackDown. Joey is speechless.
Hey, Joey, you can watch this Monday nights at 8 a.m. on USA Network. Just so you know.
Literally mid-sentence, Joey was talking, and then all of a sudden his mouth was still open. He was like, his mouth was going open and closed. So his mouth was still open, and it just stopped.
It was a slow stream of drool coming out the left side.
Set the stage real quick, and we can move on. There's two very healthy women throwing each other around the ring, and I've put it on slow motion, hoping that that would cause Joey to focus. But it's been the opposite. It's been the opposite. He is now lost in fucking the wilderness. All right, so what was your question? What were we talking about?
We
were flying
kites. The ultimate backyard barbecue game.
We're going to go around. Everybody picks one. You're going to take one game in the back of the truck to go tailgate. What is it going to be? Go.
Scrotum.
What?
What? Did you say scrotum?
So there's this game. I did a show. I did a pilot called Track Boys. And the whole idea of this TV show pilot was what goes on in the parking lots at NASCAR racetracks. It was all about the games and the food. And so me and a posse of my guys would go around and shoot video and stuff. And that's where I discovered the game called Scrotum, which is probably called something else, but all the rednecks in Richmond, Virginia called
not Scrotum. Scrotum.
So you've probably seen it before. It's like two golf balls with a string between it.
Ladder
and they
ball.
Have a ladder PB. Ball. Yeah, the ladder ball.
Oh, yeah, okay.
They call it Scrotum.
They call
that's
it
what
Scrotum.
Rednecks call it Scrotum.
That's my new favorite game.
I got to find the link and show it to you. So we would go around and film all these games. I mean, you know, washers. They'd make shit. They'd throw anything from one direction to another, and it would be a fucking game. So they call it Scrotum, which is two golf balls and a string. Yeah. You sling it across to the other guy. There's a rack of PVC pipes, about an inch pipes, and they get wrapped up and, you know, so on and so forth with scoring. I only picked that because I knew none of y'all ever heard it called Scrotum.
Tremendous.
And you called it what?
Ladder ball.
That sounds stupid.
So much more.
You have to admit. Podcast, Joey.
I gotta tell you,
the South will rise.
I will pause this shit, Joey.
The South will rise again. No, so I
found out, by the way, it was called Scrotum as I'm interviewing a guy on camera, like on the On Gamer Town. I'm like, so what's the name of this game? Not knowing this was coming, he's like, what, Scrotum? And I'm like, I'm sorry. He had like a lisp and a slur. I'm like, I'm sorry, what? He's like, Scrotum. I'm like, I still don't know what you're saying. He's like, it's called Scrotum. I'm like, oh my God. Like Nutsack. Okay, I got it. Nutsack. So Scrotum, best game ever done.
Any explanation for that?
Well, no, but I'm just being, yeah, whatever.
Side note.
Looking for a real name.
James, you're up.
What was the question? I'm
tailgate game.
Tailgate game. What was the question? I'm with Joey. Best tailgate eating.
Beer pong.
Traditional one, yeah.
You know what? Honestly, I have Patriot season tickets. Fuck you and your parking lot games. Honestly, I don't want to see. I don't want my car getting hit by your stupid football when your 6-year-old kid can't catch it. You know, I don't want your scrotum balls flinging around and wrapping around my antenna and everything. And do you really need to take up six parking spots? What do we do? We drink and we gamble.
Oh, that's that guy.
Absolutely.
Well, that's my favorite game too.
I mean, you really need to take up six spots for your cornhole game?
You got a very Patton Oswalt vibe coming off you right now. I don't know what's going on.
No eating?
Right? Well, eating and drinking and gambling.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, because we bring a TV and we, you know, hook up the Sunday ticket and off the computer, run it into the TV.
Oh wow!
Yeah, that's
possible nowadays.
And I will say, dude, because I've been privileged enough to be invited to these tailgate games, and it is epic. The grilling, the TV, I mean, it's just awesome. So you know what? We don't play games when I tailgate with Scotty. We fucking eat, we drink, and we talk football and bet again.
Yeah, it's basically we place bets, and we then the one game that we do play is if it's a 4 o'clock game, we watch the 1 o'clock games on the TV, and we all pick. You pick a player, $5 a game per man, player to score first.
Wow, that's cool. Yeah.
Yep. I like it.
That's very sweet.
Player pool. Yep.
Yeah, and I'm just not athletic, and it's a little bit too much for me to chuck a beanbag.
I like your game a little better. That's just
thank you.
I'll second that, though. I've gone out several games with both Craig and Scotty, and I never want for actually playing any sort of game because it's like the food. I don't know. The time just goes by really quickly, and it's never like you're bored or anything. There's always something to do, and the games aren't really missed. So I can do without it. Yeah.
My game is bucketball. Nobody apparently knows what it is. You just get two buckets and a softball, like cornhole, but you're only trying to throw it into one bucket.
Dude, that's the trailer park of all games I've ever played.
We got ourselves a bucket and a ball.
And if you
have
a bucket, you can dig a hole.
Look, dude, it's a fun game. All right, it's good.
Chris, is there a lead for this that I don't know about?
Bucketball.
What? I will crush you in your own game.
Do me a favor and don't park near me because I don't want your softballs digging up my car.
It hits you because you know I go in the bucket every time.
Chris, when you say like cornhole, I'm not exactly sure what you're saying.
and I'm concerned because I have a term that cornhole means.
James doesn't know what you're talking about.
It's a bigger cornhole.
Is there something other than the cornhole I'm referring to in my head?
There's a cornhole.
It's a beanbag toss.
I know.
It's a beanbag toss game.
So it's not the thing I'm thinking.
No.
It had to be based on.
Are you thinking anal rape?
Yeah.
No. It's definitely not anal rape.
No, that game is played in the porta potties.
I think the name is probably based off of butt sex.
Yeah.
We call that prison love.
I don't know. I think it's because you have a...
No,
because
there's a board with a hole in it. You try to
really?
Get the beans in it. Yeah.
I would think it would be because you had a
Frank and the beans in the hole.
Trying to throw it into a...
I think the bags were... Weren't they like...
Corn. You can use corn. Frank, yeah. I think we need to find out the etymology of cornhole.
That's the only reason behind it.
I'm not sure that they tie into anal sex at all.
No. The reason why they call it cornhole is because the bean bag... Okay, for people that don't freak
out.
So James and three other people on the planet don't know. You got like a 3-foot by 2-foot board that's elevated in the back with a hole in the middle. They call it cornhole because the bags are filled with hard corn.
Yeah, and you got like 4 or 5 holes.
And then it's called beanbag toss.
Call it what you will from there on.
The bags are filled with corn.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
So I'm just glad it's not the other thing.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm pretty
sure.
That's all I'm saying.
Rick, how about you?
I don't know.
Nah, come on, I'm never going to go to a sporting event with
big,
you.
Big fan. The whole thing was like Scott's point is Scott, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to call the wrong name because I'd be an asshole. Believe me, there's a whole other reasons why I'm an asshole. Drinking, food, shit, talking shit, and gambling are the top four games everywhere you go. That's just in
right
our
here.
DNA. Mm-hmm. DNA. Look that up in my DNA, Frank, when we do that thing. But I think the fifth would be, when you're doing all that, what else are you doing? And if there's a game to be played, I think the least, they're all easy. They're all hard and they're all easy. Bocce.
That is.
Go with bocce.
That's a good game. But that really, yeah. What about all the people that are
that's a tough game
you
got to parking lot.
Thing and then you got some sand.
It's no thing. You play across the parking lot down into the woods.
That's even worse than bucketball. What are you talking about? The ball can just keep rolling forever.
Overland croquet. I want 7 acres of land. The wickets are 182 yards apart. Whatever it takes.
Rick is a regular cricket. Player on the ball lot at the new
Frankie,
court.
Did you go yet?
No.
Go.
Operation. Go ahead, Joe.
can I just say one last thing
like
on this
that.
Real quick?
Yes.
If you're playing games in a parking lot before a football game, get more interesting friends.
Or eat better food before the game.
Exactly.
You ever played Operation, though?
Yeah, Operation. Yes. Yes.
Really?
I thought it was very interesting because I haven't tailgated for 4 or 5 years, and like what Scotty was saying, like, oh, we get the NFL ticket and we just put it right into
that's
the TV
awesome.
Watching like HD in the parking lot, that is like
epic.
I never put that together.
That's ridiculous.
Awesome.
That is
so how do you power the TV?
One guy that was coming with us, who's thank God only going to one game this year, would bring a generator. And if he's not there, we have a little power converter you just hook up to the car battery.
And it'll run for a while?
Oh, yeah. You just, every, I don't know, half hour, 45 minutes or whatever, turn the car on.
Start the car and recharge.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
I've been to a few Giants games. And we're going, Chris and I are going to a Giants-Patriots game.
Nice.
Which will be awesome. Because we're going to start shit. But there's a fan van in Giants Stadium. And it's like these guys who are connected, Giants, old Giants players, will come out to the fan van and kind of check in and kind of like, hey, how's everything going?
Cool.
You know? And it was like for $40, all the food, all the booze, right off the bat. It's phenomenal.
You can't beat that.
I can't. It was
tremendous.
It was an experience. I can't wait for you to try it for the first time.
I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait.
We might have to throw down because we will be wearing Patriots gear. Nothing less is accepted.
Hey, at least it's not a Jets game.
Oh my God! I was listening to a podcast actually yesterday, and the guy just briefly mentioned during the podcast the word book reports. And
book reports.
But it got me thinking. Could you imagine being a kid? You always think like, oh, you know, I wish I could be young again. I wish I could be a kid again. You know, son, do you remember? I hated. like when you had all those like them big assignments ahead of you? Did any guys?
Are you kidding me? You do podcast and blogging.
Yeah, but wait, hold on. Right. Were you the type of person when you had book reports? Uh-huh. Did you get it right out of the way, or did you like wait till the last minute to get them done?
Me, I'm a last minute guy.
You're a last
I'm
minute.
I'm a last minute guy, and
but did
and
you? But
the, like that morning. And the second period, the book report was due, and I'm working that morning.
So the point was, though, wouldn't it be like for a whole week you knew you had it coming? It would be so much easier if whenever you got those assignments in school to just get it done, and then you wouldn't have it on your head.
Right.
I don't think anyone.
And I would stress out the entire time, and I would avoid it.
I don't think anyone. And then
you got the F. You were like, all right, whatever. Wait until the last minute.
I think a lot of people do. Because I get a lot of advice from them. You know, wouldn't it be better to get it done the first day and not have it weigh on your head for the next 6 days? And for my whole life, it's been, I don't know. I start high school, college, papers would get started at 10 o'clock at night, work through the night, catch a couple hours sleep between 5 o'clock and 7 o'clock, go to school, turn it in, and get a B+. Because you just, because that finality of the deadline is here, you have to get it done. You don't get to go, oh, that's not the perfect way, and it's not the perfect outline, it's not this. You just have to get it done. And then a lot of the book reports would just be read the inside cover of the book, little synopsis, and go, oh, this one.
And I think they have a whole different ways of like cheating nowadays.
Yeah,
like, we had the crib notes and everything.
Yeah, the cliff notes. Besides this being the most unfucking homie cast topic I've ever fucking heard. Goddamn fucking book reports, Joey. I will say this: the game has changed because my wife's been a teacher from third grade to college. Kids these days don't fucking read books. Are you kidding me? Do you know how many book reports are online that you can purchase or buy, I mean, or steal? I mean, thousands. You pick a book, go online, 50 papers will pop up. Now, teachers have have a software program for this. So I have seen this happen over and over again, and it's awesome to watch firsthand. So Hannah will get all these kids turning in all the shit, and she also has taught kids around the world online, and they will turn shit in like, you know, check this out, that won't match anything they've ever done before. She's got a program that she can drag and click the whole thing, plug it in, and it'll spit out every time that exact sentence is showing up across the planet. So it'll be like 13 other book reports show up from so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so. Dang. It's phenomenal. So right now you can cheat your balls off, and your teachers can catch your fucking balls in a sling. So do you think kids fucking read books and fucking write real book reports these days? You are high. It's called copy and paste.
There are exceptions to that rule.
Now, can we get our balls back?
If you don't have
a ball. There are different exceptions to the rules. And I'm not, like, yes, I agree with you. Like,
I respect the kids that can read and
that's what I'm saying. Like, there are definite exceptions.
You have good kids. That doesn't count.
But I'm just saying, like, I'm just using, like, my daughter. Of course, had to do a report on Beowulf.
Yes.
I do a book report on Beowulf. And
send it to me. I'll tell you how much you plagiarized. Send it to me. I will tell you where it came from.
We discussed it because you know what? My English teacher in my sophomore year in high school, Miss Daly, was tremendous.
Anybody at this table, in this day and era, if you were in the 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th grade,
I'd be reading books.
Would you be using the technology to write your in quotes book?
Hey, Craig, I can throw you this one.
Dude, I got one for you.
My family had the 1969 World Book Encyclopedia. That's as far as we got.
And I would have racks of those.
I would go on such autopilot while watching TV and writing down what I read in the book.
Yeah.
I actually wrote IBID continued page 64 in the middle of my book report, and only one teacher circled it and went, what the hell is this? And I went,
that was my notes.
When I was in college, the teacher had the same syllabus, the same courses, the same thing every semester. So you would just steal the material from the guy
who was in the class last year
and reuse it again for the second
semester. So now that's what kids do this in college too. Very, very, it's a serious problem in college. So kids will go online and there's all these websites, ratemyprofessor.com and all this other stuff.
Wait, listen.
Rate. Come on, Rick. Stay on point.
No, Frank.
So they can go on there and go, who took this class last year? Oh, Mrs. So-and-so, she's really cool. Blah, blah, blah. What did y'all talk about? Ooh, here's all my course from last. Because now kids have everything on their computer.
where we did. I mean, shit, we had, you know, wrote papers and didn't take notes and slept. So their entire courses, so like, all right, for $400, I'll send you every single note because I went to every class. That's how education works today. So fuck a book report. Kids be cheating their ass.
So why don't we change the curriculum based upon what kids should learn going forward? Why do I
care? Don't change the subject.
Why do I care if a kid can look up stuff and find out about Eli Whitney and the cotton gin and find me six bibliography sources of that information if he can pick up or she can pick up and look on the internet and find it once? Why not teach toward what's going to be useful today and going forward,
Oprah,
rather than how people learned shit in the 1950s?
Well, see, I think there's a conflict from what you're saying though, because you were saying was that kids are cheating more now, but I thought you just got done telling me that it's way easier for the teachers to catch
them. Well,
but back then they were getting
caught. Not all teachers access these tools.
Oh, okay.
Only the savvy ones do. And a lot of teachers
I'd be scared
give
to
a
death.
Shit as long as you turn your stuff in. Some teachers are diligent and diligent. Right. I don't know what they're. And a lot of students, obviously, all kids now know that this is at their fingertips. So I mean, that's the problem. Is I would love my kid to write a proper book report and stuff. I would be horrified to this day because I knew how I did back in the day, which was read the first few pages. Flip few, read a couple
read
chapters,
end,
read a couple right chapters, flip through, read a couple chapters, call a friend. Yeah, yo, what's up, man? So what, you can cut that grass this week? I'll cut your lawn. What the fuck happened in that book? You know what I'm saying? So whatever it takes,
Scott,
I would get it done.
So you watch the movie, and then Abraham Lincoln killed all the vampires.
Yeah, well, now you go right. Online.
Uh-huh. But you know, this is kind of like, and I've talked to Craig about this. I don't know if you remember. But someone I know, that he was divorced, his kids moved away, blah, 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 blah. His oldest son, when he turned 16, got his driver's license. And he calls, it, takes a picture of it, sends it to his dad, and his dad says, why did you print your name on your driver's license? Why didn't you sign it? And he says...
That is my
They don't teach cousins.
And he says, I don't know how.
Right.
And they don't teach cousins. And Adam says...
Me and my wife have been discussing that.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and he says, what do you mean you don't know how? He says, I've never had to. Right. Like, everything now is check, click here if you agree,
it is.
Enter, done.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, I actually suggested to Craig that him and Hannah get together on a documentary, The Loss of the Signature.
That'd be a great signature.
Like, remember,
they don't teach it in elementary school anymore.
Big, beautiful, flowing signatures. And,
by the way, any of us, have any of us at this table, or a different generation, has anybody here written more than a sentence in cursive in the past 10 years? In the past 10 years, anyone?
Nobody.
So we're talking about kids don't do it. Fucking we don't do it.
But this kid couldn't even sign his name.
That's crazy.
Remember the lowercase Z?
James, go ahead.
All right, so here's the thing. You're talking about, I like to draw a distinction between the word cheating and the word excelling.
One and the same.
I graduated from high school, had no business getting a degree.
Because you excelled.
Because I excelled. Some might call it cheating.
This is a successful business owner.
I found ways to get from the zero to the A, or in my case, the C, through the most direct route possible. And in my opinion, I have more respect and I have more value. I want my kids to excel. And if you use technology to get through a class, it doesn't mean shit to you. I was in freaking classes, and they were talking about people I didn't give a shit about.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
I'm sorry, I don't give a shit, and it's a required course, and I don't care, and I'm, you know, and that old adage, I don't need this, I'm never going to need it. I have to tell you, I have to tell you that there's 90% of the shit that they teach in high school, grade school, whatever, I actually don't need today.
Right.
I don't
you
need.
To
I
know
need,
about the
I need, some al- I need some of the algebra, which I didn't think I was going to need, and it turns out I did. You know, I need some of the algebra. I need math is most of what I needed in my life. Other than science, I don't need to know the difference between one kind of rock and another. I don't give a shit. Igneous or granius or whatever the fuck
it
is.
Make you any money.
None of that stuff matters to me. And I spent decades of my life involved in these classes about igneous rocks. Fuck that. I'm gonna excel, which is the word I choose to use for this process. I'm going to excel at getting from zero to C without having to actually consciously participate.
Zero to C. Zero to C. Rick, did you have something? No.
Now there we go.
Okay. Yep. Okay, we're going to go, and it's just going to be one word, and I'm going to ask everybody the same question. One word, don't expound on it. Least useful class that's in through high school. Go ahead.
Bible.
Oh, yeah, okay. Religion for sure.
I don't know. I was ready for college.
That's five words. Five words. Tony, thank you, Toby.
It's going to get the
come back. Come back to me.
Algebra.
No. What? You use that shit.
No, I don't.
Chemistry.
Chemistry. I'm going with history.
Gym.
Are you serious? I'm going to be on the podcast right now.
Good answer.
Says the athlete.
Homeroom.
Homeroom. That's
not a fair one. I just spent 20 fucking minutes in there.
And that's why I went zero to C.
Right? Yeah, zero to C. I would throw in a French class.
I never showed up for homeroom.
French class?
French.
Yeah, there you go.
French.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. French. Spanish. I would go with Spanish. There you go.
Yeah. We should talk about it. So Craig had a big undertaking the last couple of days, and you have a red welt.
Is it still there?
Oh, yeah. It's a little less pronounced, but like, why don't you go through... Like, you got a shipment.
I got a shipment? Oh, yeah. So I lived in New Mexico when Hannah and I first started dating very fast. In 93, we were dating like 6 months, and she was like, by the way, I've been accepted to a college in New Mexico. Great. She went out there. Went out to the visit the first time, about 6 months later, fell in love with New Mexico, applied to the school, went to college in the University of New Mexico as a music, film, and television major. Hmm. Blah, blah, blah. Out west, in New Mexico, actually specifically in Albuquerque in that area, everybody that knows, green chili is like water. Everything. Everywhere you go, green chili's everywhere. It's in every restaurant, everything you order, everybody gets green chili on everything. You smell it in the fall, so when you show up to go to college, you have this smell that takes over the entire city. It's very bizarre. You're like, what the fuck is that smell? You smell it everywhere. So when chili season hits, we're talking about Hatch Green Chilies. They roast them in the parking lots of every grocery store across the town, everywhere. So people go in, they buy 50 pounds of green chili. They walk outside, they give them to the guy. He puts them in a big rotisserie and a bunch of torches, big flames hitting this rotisserie, like a 60-gallon drum. And he's rotating it like a grill, just rotating it and roasting it. So everybody becomes addicted to green chili in New Mexico. It's just the way it is. So when you go to McDonald's, green chili, Pizza Hut, green chili, the finest restaurant, green chili, they make a red chili sauce. So you can order red and green chili on your breakfast burrito, and it's called Christmas. Green chili becomes a part of your life like more than lobster or fish or seafood even is in New England. I'm serious, it is so deep prevalent. And green, it's bizarre, it really is. So I am obsessed with green chili. Ever since I left in 98, so it's been a minute, or like 18 years in white boy terms, and it's been a long time. Every year I get 50 pounds of green chili shipped to me. Last night.
Now, do you get them from the same exact spot or website?
There's only one place in the world that makes green chili.
But who ships it? Like, there's
Hatch Green Chili.
Hatch Green Chili. Okay.
Hatch Green Chili is the green chili. There's a few people that buy and distribute it. You can buy it directly from these farms. You get it overnighted. It's not cheap because they have to show up fresh as they can be. Show up in cardboard boxes with holes in them. So every year we get 50 pounds shipped to us, hots and hot mild, hot medium hots and hots. And they also make a super hot. And so when you get them, what you have to do with these chilies, you have to roast them. You have to put them on a fire, whether it's a gas grill. Now out there, they do it predominantly with gas and a rotisserie. Last night, I did it on my stove grill with hardwood charcoal. Ooh. And I did it on the gas grill. And it was hot and heated. It's very fast. They toast fast. They grill fast. So I'm sitting there like, dude, I have my hand from the tongs, because the ones I have are really seriously spring-loaded. Oh my God. The first 5 minutes I was switching hands. It was just like crazy. So for like 5 hours, nonstop, I've got like 100 chilies at a time on two grills. And I'm toasting and grilling them and flipping them and toasting them. Put them in a container, cover them with saran wrap, send them inside. Hannah's in here. She starts peeling. Wow. You got to peel them quick. Then you got to put them in bags. You got to vacuum seal them and stuff them in the fridge. So it is literally an obsession and addiction that you can't get away from once you live there. Now I'm telling you, like, if you moved away from Gloucester, and in 20 years from now, you're not going to be getting 50 pounds of lobster shipped to you, or clams,
right,
or anything else, or anything. It is that addictive. And there's something chemically going on there, I think, too. Yeah. But I was a hot sauce fiend before I moved to New Mexico. I had like a collection of like 60 hot sauces when I was 20. Always been a hot food fan. But dude, it is absolutely an addiction. So you guys tonight had a green chili sauce made with onions and a little bit of chicken stock and a little bit of garlic cooked down, and that's what you had on your burgers and chicken sandwiches. And then there was a little bit of it in the pico de gallo and a little bit of it in the guacamole as well. So out there, it is literally like ketchup, salt, and pepper to everybody. And New Mexicans, and specifically people that were born there, there's a lot of New Mexicans that weren't born there, like millions of them, that become obsessed. They have it with every meal.
Wow.
Breakfast burrito covered in green chili sauce. Lunch chicken sandwich, green chilies. Dinner, steak, whatever. I mean, green chili takes over everything.
How long do you get out of that? Like, how
before you obviously you overuse it the first like 3 or 4 months. You're like, you know, right. You use it every day. Breakfast burrito, you know, use it all as much as you can. You cook a pizza, you put it on it. When it starts to thin out, then you start to, you know, like a fucking crackhead. Right? You're like, yeah. Oh man, no, literally, like, oh honey, did you look in the freezer? Yeah, I looked in the freezer. it's our last pack of green chili. What are we going to do? I'm not going to touch it. You going to touch it? I'm not going to touch it. You wake up in the morning, someone's in the freezer pulling out the green chili.
That was delicious.
So only the best of friends get that last.
And I got to tell you, they look similar to people that, you know, don't know. They look like an Anaheim chili a little bit, like, you know, which is a version of it. There's a reason why Hatch green chili is what it is. And it's kind of like Scotch can only be called from Scotland Scotch because it was made in Scotland. Otherwhere else, it's whiskey, bourbon, you know, everything else. There's a reason it is that. And the flavor that it has and the heat that it brings is very specific. And it is like deeper than anything I've ever, in food-wise, and we're all a bunch of foodies here, for a lack of a stupider term. We're all a bunch of food fanatics here.
Better. But
green chili is like, it is literally in my blood since I lived there. I mean, so, and I know, there was actually, now James. So
what did you end up?
James's shop, KPNG Clay.
Was, yeah.
Used to be a New Mexico green chili shop before I moved here.
Yep.
And it closed just before I moved here, and I was heartbroken to find out that closed.
There's a lot of posts on the blog of interviews I did for that place.
Oh, really?
They still have their stuff travel at like Kenry's Market.
They still
they just don't have a retail outlet.
I think they went there.
Blackburn.
But yeah, it's serious. It's very serious.
And I've often thought about putting on a pot of chili.
Okay, okay.
And it has nothing to do with chili. When you say green chili, it has nothing to do with a bowl of chili. For people that don't know, it's New Mexican chili. Green chili is a chili pepper.
Pepper.
So we're talking about chili peppers here.
Yeah.
There's the red chili, which is the more mature. The green chili, which is the younger ones. Some of them are hot, some of them are mild. Anyways,
So you have a freezer packed full?
So last night we got 50 pounds, which turned out to be about 12 bags. Once we roasted them, peeled them, and bagged them, and shrink wrapped them.
Yeah.
Or vacuum packed them. Then we have about 5 bags that we kept full for rellenos that you stuff with cheese, batter, and deep fry. Because chili rellenos are
so good.
Ridiculous. Now we have Day of the Dead. We have Dia de los Muertos coming up 1st of November.
That's a big party.
We have a big party here every year, and we make from scratch, real Mexican style, everything. And we make tamales. Real handmade tamales have to be made.
That's right.
That's why we have the proper pork fat frozen in the freezer too. Yeah. So,
and there's something you had to travel for too. Like Hannah and Anna went for some.
Yeah, they went to get a special pork fat that you can only get in certain places.
Yeah, it took them like an entire day to find just the right pork.
Scotty,
Helder, you want to get a plug in for Day of the Dead?
Yeah, yeah. A quick plug. We're actually making a beer for Day of the Dead.
No shit.
Called Muerte.
It's our Imperial Stout. It's we're going to infuse it with a tincture, essentially. But
Tincture.
We're essentially modeling a Mexican.
We're going to need two cases shipped here.
Well, maybe I'll bring some for that.
I'll bring some of this.
We just got ourselves invited.
Baby Helder would love to be there.
Yeah, awesome. we're modeling like a Mexican hot chocolate, so we're infusing it with habanero peppers, cinnamon sticks, vanilla beans, and coffee.
Brother.
Dang,
yes, it's a real Mexican hot chocolate.
Yeah, real, for real.
Yes. Another Mexican adventure.
Just a side note: if one of us has an event, all the rest of us are automatically invited.
Oh, that's always the case.
Confirm it out loud.
No?
Okay. You're allowed.
Is it time for the...
Sorry to interrupt. Just a cheap plug.
So when you go to the Patriots game, we'll all come.
Make some money, baby.
Is it time?
All right.
Is it time for the...
Patriots game, we're all in, right? That's right.
Let's do it.
Is it time for the special award presentation?
Yes. As a matter of fact...
Dun, dun, dun.
That's it. That's very sweet. You bring that up, Joey. So for all the fantasy football fans out there, we started a fantasy football league in the name of Good Morning Gloucester, but we call it the League of Extraordinary Massholes. And every year we give out certain trophies for certain players. And this year, well, I should say last year, one of our astute guests has received a special award. And Scotty might right about now be thinking it's probably going to be him.
Yeah,
probably. Scotty Mott received a very special award last year.
I had a stellar trophy. Stellar season.
What is this?
I must interject, this is a sneak preview of the award.
This award is going to be presented three times in the next week. It's a very special award. But tonight, on this podcast, Scotty, may I present to you the 2014... League of Extraordinary Massholes Toilet Bowl.
Thank you very much. I was hoping it was going to be a Ben Roethlisberger Christmas ornament.
Well, it's the Aaron Hernandez wedding band.
Michael Vick's dog collar.
This is for dead last place. And, oh, Scotty, what was your record for the people that can't read the literal toilet bowl? Show it to me, brother. Show it. Hold it in front of your face. Now
1-12.
1-12
Dude, you've won four games in two years.
Now, Scotty, for people that can't see, this is a bronze toilet bowl. Now, Scotty changed the name of his team to Shit Soup, coincidentally, about 5 weeks left in the season, if not 10. His record, Shit Soup, Mott's, 1-12, dead last. 2014 LXM. Brother, you earned it.
This is well earned.
Congratulations, buddy. Way to suck it up.
Let me
thank you for my trophy from your league, the Drunken Mass Fantasy Football League.
That's a
first place trophy.
I like that.
Which is so classy. Awesome. I love classy that. Whiskey. Oh, look at that.
Really good too.
Suck it, bitches.
can I just interject that Craig Kimberly is a master at rubbing it in. I have one of these toilet bowls.
James earned it last year.
I have one of these toilet bowls, and Craig Kimberly came to my shop, sat down to edit images. I had a little tin of jelly beans. He picked all the brown jelly beans out of my jelly bean dish and put them into my fantasy football toilet bowl, and they're still there. I'm not going to eat them. I'm not going to eat those jelly beans. So Craig is the master at rubbing it in.
There you go. All right, hold it up, Scott.
You got to take the cap off.
Fancy.
Oh, very nice.
That's beautiful.
All right.
Fantastic.
I'm going to have to ask for that back, Scott.
One hour and 13 minutes and 30 seconds in. Guys, thanks a lot. Another homie cast.
Number nine.
Why you gotta act like a bitch when I'm with you? I pay for the bed and never even slept in it. I pay for that crib and never stepped foot in. And now somebody else is eating all the pudding. Things changed, now my dashboard.